Okay, we'll start with memory and we'll see how it goes. So we're in the middle of a series that is called Open Heart Surgery. Got that part right. And what we're talking about in this surgery, in this series, what we've been talking about is the idea that we all know, no matter how well we hide it, we all know that inside we have spiritual problems. In other words, we're not the people that we should be. And the only way for us to really change is not to try to clean up on the outside and act better, but rather to be changed on the inside. And for us to really be changed on the inside, God has to change us from the inside out. I can't change who I really am on the inside. Sometimes I can change what I do on the outside, sometimes not. But no matter how good I am at, or you are at changing who we are on the outside, the only person who can really change who we are on the inside, what we think about, what we feel, what we really, really want, the only person who can change that is God. And that's what he does when he makes us new and as he continues to make us to be like Jesus. So as we've gone through this series, we've talked about a lot of that. And then we've gotten now to the last part where we're saying, okay, what is the practical way? What are the practical ways? What are the things that I can actually do to partner with God as he changes me, to go along with God so that he can change me and make me a new person on the inside? And as I become new on the inside, that comes out on the outside. And what we talked about is that in Hebrews 11:6, the Bible says that what drives what we do, what drives how well we obey God, what drives our obedience to God is what we believe about God, our faith in God. So what we believe to be true about God comes out in what we do. So when I don't obey God, when I do things that are contrary to what God says, what that's really saying, on some level, there's something about God that I'm not believing in this moment. And so we've been looking at the four big truths about God. Four big truths that as we come to believe them more fully, truly believe them in our heart, what we do is transformed because we're believing who God really is, and that comes out in what we do. And the truth for today is God is glorious, so I don't have to fear other people. God is glorious, so I don't have to fear other people. Why is this important? Well, that's important because we have to take a few steps back. That truth is important, and we'll see why. But the reason why it's important is because you and I tend to be, and I know you're going to say, you don't know me, don't judge me, but just go with me on this. Pretend it's true and then see if it is or isn't. You and I tend to be enslaved, ruled, controlled by what other people think. And no, I'm not just talking to teenagers and peer pressure, like growing people like you and I. We tend to be enslaved by what other people think about us. And this is when I really need my notes. Look at Proverbs 29. Thank you very much. The reason you and I are enslaved by what other people think about us is because everybody in our lives, whether we like it or not, has an opinion about us and has an opinion about what we do. Everything we do is scrutinized by the people close to us, and they have an opinion about that. Whether it's good or bad, they think something about it, and most of the time, they let us know what they're thinking about us. Look at Proverbs 29, verse 25. The fear of man. So that's caring what other people think, living concerned with what other people think about you. Now, this is not in a bad way, like I'm not going to brush my teeth, I'm not going to shower, I don't care what you think about me. It's not like that. And it's also not respecting authority, like I don't care what the police think of me, I'm going to drive however fast I want. I don't care what my boss thinks about me, I'm going to come to it. And it's not that either. But it's caring about what people think of us and letting that control what we do in a non-authority and non-basic hygiene way. The fear of man lays a snare. What's a snare? It's a trap. It's something that controls you. It's something that grabs you. It's something that enslaves you. But whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. See, the fear of man is a snare. It enslaves us. How does it enslave us? When I'm worried about what other people think, that leads me, it leads me to disobey God. And so if you instantly go to, well, of course that leads you to disobey God. That's like teenagers and parties and sex and bad language and all the things you do because your friends are doing it. It does mean that. And if you're ever a teenager, you know the pull of that. But it's also for grown people. Have you ever not, and see, this is something I thought would stop when I stopped being a teenager. It didn't. Maybe for you it did. And God bless your maturity. But have you ever not treated somebody the way that you wanted to, the way you thought you should, because somebody who you were close to didn't like them, and if they saw you talking to them or being nice to them, they would say, well, that person was mean to me, and then you're being nice to them. Has that ever crossed your mind? Have you ever been around somebody who was gossiping, talking about somebody else, and you just felt inside, like, oh, this shouldn't be part of this conversation, but what do? I don't want them to think bad of me. Isn't that what it comes down to? I don't want to say, yeah, that's gossiping. What are they going to say to me? They're not going to be happy with me when I say that's gossiping. So we kind of go along with the conversation and get sucked in. Have you ever purchased something, not used the money God's given you wisely, which is a sin, bought something you didn't need, which is kind of avarice, right? Kind of a sin. Have you ever done that because of the way someone would look at you and what they would think of you? See, adults do this as well. Have you ever treated someone poorly, maybe your children, because your spouse was angry at your children and you wanted your spouse to be happy with you, so you were going to yell at your children for your spouse? Never done that either, so that's one we do. When we are worried about what other people think about us, and we are, that leads us to disobey God. You're at work and somebody starts telling a joke and you know where it's going and you know it's not good, but you think to yourself, what do I do? If I don't laugh, what are they going to think? They're going to think I'm the old stick-in-the-mud Christian. What? How do I react in this situation? The fear of man is a trap. It takes us to places where we end up disobeying God. It also makes us live with this like cloud over us, this burden of... Every time we make a decision, we think, what is my spouse going to think? What is this person, not in a healthy way, but what is this person going to think? What is this person going to think? What are people going to think about this decision? And so our decisions end up being controlled not by what we think is best and what God tells us is best and what the Holy Spirit leads us to do, but rather our decisions end up being controlled by what other people will think of us. And even our good decisions, some decisions that other people look at and say, that's a wonderful thing you're doing. Well, why are you doing it? I'm really doing it because I want you to see that I'm doing something good. We end up being controlled by what other people think of us. And this is probably the part where it's the most damaging. The fear of other people sucks the life out of us following Jesus the way he would have us follow him. Here's what I mean. Have you ever been talking with somebody? Maybe you're in a relationship with this person, you're friends, you work together, and you know that it would be uncomfortable to talk about Jesus to them, but there's also something inside of you that's pushing you, saying, now would be a good time to talk to them. Give the gospel in 30 seconds. You're far from God. Through Christ, you can be made God's friend instead of God's enemy. Isn't that incredible? You need to make a decision to follow Jesus. I care about you. Okay, just saying that exposes yourself to what are they going to say about me? This isn't something that kids feel. This is something that adults feel. And so then how many times have I not said that many times? Because I know what they might think about me, and there might be a better time later to say it. That's what I tell myself. And so it sucks the life out of speaking boldly about Jesus to the people that are important to me. Or what about the Christian who you're close to, who you see kind of going the wrong direction, and you know that you could and should say something, and something inside of you is pushing you to say something, but you don't. Why? Because you know that no one likes the person who tells them they're going in the wrong direction. At least I don't. You come to me and tell me I'm going the wrong way. What's my first reaction? Yeah, what about you? Yeah, get your life together before you come and tell me what I'm doing wrong. You have some problems, and then you come and tell me, and then we're not friends anymore. I don't want that to happen with us, so I might just wait a little while to see if you kind of auto-correct. It sucks the life out of our ministry when we're scared about what other people will think of us, and we always are scared of what other people will think of us. Or God gives us an idea, something we could do, a group we could start, a project we could do, an idea to serve other people. Yeah, but what is this person going to think? What is that person going to think? And all of a sudden, we don't do what God is asking us to do. And ultimately, we make up other reasons, but it's because we're scared about what other people will think. We're worried about what other people will think. We're concerned, if that makes you feel better than scared, about what other people will think of us. The fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. See, when we live enslaved by what other people are going to think about us, we end up disobeying God. We end up living controlled by what everybody else is going to think about us. Not everybody. There's a few people. Think about your life. Who are the two or three people that their opinion really, really matters? You look for their approval. Them being happy with you, that's a big deal. Them being upset with you, that's a really big deal. They might not even know. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe your spouse doesn't know how much control they have over you. They don't consciously do it. They don't know they're doing it. But you value their opinion, or your parent, or someone really close to you, you value their opinion so much that you think unconsciously, without even thinking about it, you put all your decisions through a filter of what is this person going to think. And you do and don't do things, many times good or bad, doesn't really matter, based on what that person is. Who's that person for you? Who's the person who you would say maybe their opinion matters a little too much? And the truth that sets us free is that God is glorious. God is glorious. Talk about what that means. God is glorious, so I don't have to fear others. I don't have to fear what others think. There's a place in the New Testament where we see this played out. It's kind of a story. It's a neat story. It's Acts 4. I just want to go through the story because we see this idea of what other people think compared to what God thinks played out, and we'll see this truth of God being glorious so I don't have to fear others. And as we do, we'll see how we can be free from what other people think of us. Acts 4, verse 1. As they were speaking to the people, so Peter and John are speaking about Jesus to a large group of people, and then look at what happens. The priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them. I think it's not a coincidence that they make a point of naming the important, it's the priest, not just a priest, the priest, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees, a big religious important group, some of the most important people, not just in their town, but in their nation, came upon them. The most important people, some of the most important people in their nation came up to them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. They thought that by their disapproval that they would change what these two guys were doing. And most of the time, that is what happens. Other people's disapproval, especially important people. And it may not be an important person like the President of the United States important, but to you, that person is very important. My kids cannot be happy with me, can be not happy with me, can be upset with me, cannot be thrilled with me. And now, my kids to you probably aren't that important. I mean, you're not going to run over and pay homage when you see them in the supermarket. But tell you what, when they're not happy with me, they're important to me. I put a lot of weight on their opinion of me. And when they're not happy with me, that has a huge effect on what I do. Don't tell them that, but they already know. Greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of men came to about 5,000. So the gospel's over here working. People are coming to faith in Jesus, but the two guys who were telling about Jesus were now arrested. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander, so and all who were of the high priestly family. So now it's not just mentioning groups, it's saying specific people. These are people that mean nothing to us, but in their time, to them, these were extremely important people. The most important people in the nation are now sitting around in a group, a big group, a large group of all very important people, and they put these two guys in the middle. When we say God is glorious, so that means I don't have to fear others, What is glory? Glory is importance. It's weight. It's value. It's power. And see, the reason why I think in this text we see these important people and groups of people named is because it's showing us, hey, we give glory, we put importance on people when we, and that makes us value their opinion. Not their opinion of whether we should brush our teeth or not, but their opinion of how we're living. It, because of the importance, the weight, the glory that we assign them. The more important that someone is to me, the more their opinion is going to matter to me. You could, many of you, and don't take this the wrong way, but many of you could come and tell me something, anything about the way I look, what I'm doing, pretty much anything. And I'd be like, eh, maybe I would listen, maybe I wouldn't. I don't know. I wouldn't put a lot of importance on it. Why? Because in my eyes, hey, compared to my wife, for example, she comes and tells me anything minor, I instantly change. Why? Because she's domineering? No, because I put weight and power, and I'm not just saying that because it's being recorded. I put weight and importance in her as a person. So when she speaks, her opinion is very important to me. And these were men who everyone in the nation said their opinion should be extremely important. They speak, and because of how important we see them, that's it. Verse 7, when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, by what power or by what name do you do this? And then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the capstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. They said, by what power? Where's the glory? Where's the authority? Where's the weight? Whose opinion is important enough to you that's making you do this? Because we're not happy with it. And I think we're more important than whoever else it could be that's giving you this. And he says, well, actually, it's God. It's God. God's telling me to do this. And so because it's God, Peter is saying, I put more weight on him. I put more weight on Jesus, who you, by the way, killed. You didn't put any importance, any weight on him. I do. I think he is God, and he is glorious to me. He is great. And so what he thinks is what I should be doing is what I will be doing. He's more important. He has more glory. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived they were uneducated common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. But when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, look at what they do. What shall we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed among them is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name. So they called them together and charged them not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. They gave them the look. They gave them the look that okay, if you're married or have parents or have really good friends, so that's probably most of us, I'm guessing, you know the look. It's not a controlling look. It's not a mad at you look. It's just a going down the wrong path look. And when you get that look from a person who's important from you, you change, right? Earlier this week, I was with my wife and we were some friends, and I was telling a joke that was quite funny, but given the makeup of the group there was a risk that I might offend someone, which is kind of the case whenever I make a joke. But in this case, my wife wanted to make sure that didn't happen, and so I got the look. I ignored the look. Shouldn't have ignored the look. But when you get the look, you change direction. He's saying, listen, we're going to give them the look. We're going to show them we're important, and because of the importance that we have, that they value that, they're going to change. They're not going to keep doing this. They're going to fear us. Our opinion is going to be important to them. But Peter and John answered them, verse 19, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. What does he say? Okay. God's opinion, your opinion? Which one do I listen to? Where do I put more weight? And honestly, as I've been preparing this message, I, just confession, see, this isn't in my notes, so this is free. I live my life putting a lot of weight, importance, glory on my wife and my children, some close friends, my parents. My dad giving me his approval means the world to me. That's not bad, but I put weight on other people. And most of my decisions, as I've been thinking about this week, they're made through the filter of what are these people going to think about it? And what does Peter say? We put more importance on what God thinks than anything else. So you judge what is right. So he's saying to me, you judge what is right. Is putting everything through the filter of what your wife and children and parents and best friends think about everything, is that what's right? Or is putting more importance on what God thinks and running every decision through what does God think of this, is that more right? Righter, whatever the right word is. Where should you put your importance? And the truth that sets us free from living captive to the opinions of everyone else, even people who are important to us, especially people who are important to us, is that God is more glorious. He is more weighty. He is greater than anyone else in our lives, especially the people whose opinion matters the most to us. And so we should put the importance based on what we do. We should put that everything we do through the filter of what does God think of this, not what does that person think of this. And that's exactly what Peter and John do. Look at verse 21. For when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, for all were praising God about what had happened. For the man on whom this sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. When they were released, so what did they do? Very important people said, don't keep doing this. They said, God's more important to us. He is more glorious, more weighty than what you think. When they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. The important people, when they heard it. Now look at what they did. Look at what they did. They lifted their voice together to God and said, and now in what they're going to say, we'll read it, but listen, in what they're going to say, they're reminding themselves of how important God is. Instead of saying, and this is what I would have done, I would have said, oh, the chief priests and these are the big people. They said not to do this. And if we keep doing it, they're going to know because they have people everywhere. And if they know, then what are they going to do next? So they're going to put us in jail. And okay, we need to come up with a contingency plan when I get put in jail. And when I get beaten, we need to get some first aid supplies. I would start thinking about what the powerful, important people, I make this decision and I talk to you about Jesus, or I show you how you're going the wrong direction and you're upset with me. Now, how am I going to handle that? Instead of thinking about how they mitigate the circumstances of what's going to happen when they ignore the important people and putting the importance on what the people were going to think about them, what do? They look to God and they remind themselves of how great and how weighty and how important God is. Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, by the Holy Spirit said, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city there were gathered against your holy servant Jesus, whom you appointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. They remind themselves of how great God is. So as you find yourself worried about what other people will think about the decisions that you're making and the things that you want to say, should do, what's their example? Remind yourself of how great God is. And when we see how great God is, the importance, the weight that I put on certain people in my life pales in comparison, doesn't it? When you focus on how great God is, who is that person, the two or three people in your life that are just, everything you do goes through the filter, what are they going to think? Doesn't their importance pale in comparison? God is glorious. God is important. God is powerful. They aren't. God is. They reminded themselves of that. How do we follow their example? well, we could do what they did and pray and just say true things about God to himself. Not that he needs to know, oh, I am great. That's right. No, it's to remind us. It's to remind ourselves. We could do that. You could open up the Psalms. When you realize, I'm really basing my decisions today, or I'm chickening out of doing this, or I'm not doing that. I'm doing that because of what other people are going to think. We can open the Psalms and pick basically any psalm, because every psalm is a declaration of the greatness and the glory and the importance of God. And we read them to ourselves, and we remind ourselves, like they did, of how great and glorious God is, and how his opinion is the only one that matters. And look at what that frees them to do. And now, Lord, verse 29, look upon their threats, and grant to your servants to continue to speak your name, your word, with boldness. What? Help us ignore what they think, and do what you want us to do. While you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant, Jesus Christ. And as they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and what? Continued to speak the word of God with boldness. God was glorious. God is important. God is powerful. So it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks. The truth of how powerful and important God is set them free to obey God. As we look to God and we look at his importance and his power and his glory, it will gradually set our hearts free to obey him. Won't matter what other people think nearly as much. That'll free us to do what God, not do what God says to not do. To obey God. It'll free us to do the good things he's asking us to do. We'll be able to, like they did, talk about Jesus to the people around us with boldness. But what are they going to think? And can I talk about God at work? And God will free us to speak about Jesus with boldness. God will free us to build each other up and confront each other in love, to speak the truth in love, in boldness, through the Holy Spirit, as we see his glory and his importance. Man's opinion will fade in comparison. So I would ask you, in your life, where is the fear of man holding you back? Who are the people in whose opinion you put too much importance? And as you go through this week, I would challenge you, fight to see God as being glorious and great and important and powerful. And let man's opinion, woman's opinion, person's opinion, pale in comparison to how important God is, and let him be the one who directs you as you go through this week. And one little footnote. We always talk, I always talk about making your decision to follow Jesus. And I wanted to say something about that this week. Normally I work it into the message, and it's a natural part of where the message goes, that if you are not God's child, if you haven't made the decision to follow Jesus, to repent and be baptized, then God would ask you to make that decision. Because no matter how many other good works you do and how much better of a person you become, that is the difference between life and death, and we talk about that. But here's the thing. If you are thinking about making this decision for yourself, the one big reason, one of the biggest reasons that holds us back from deciding to follow Jesus, to repent and be baptized, is because we know as soon as we hit the water, people are going to have opinions about that. Whether it's our families, I didn't raise you that way, I raised you this way, I didn't, what are you doing? Or our friends, oh, now you're one of those people. Whatever the reason is, we're putting man's opinion over God's opinion. And if you've been thinking about that decision over the last few weeks or few months or part of your life, I would challenge you, let God become big. Let God become, in your mind, as big as he is, so that as you make this decision, you're not worried about what other people will think. All that matters to you is what God thinks of you. Why don't we stand? We'll pray together, and then we'll sing. God, thank you for loving us, for being good to us. Thank you for giving yourself for us, for showing yourself through your word and through your creation how great and powerful and important and weighty and glorious you are. So God, I pray that through your Spirit that you would make each one of us conscious this week of how dependent we are on other people's opinion and other people's approval. And as you make us conscious of that, God, I pray that you would help us to look to you and to see you as being as important and as glorious and as powerful as you are, and that we would learn to be people who are only concerned about what you think, who only seek your approval, who only try to please you, and that we become less and less people who pass everything we do through the filter of what other people think about us. Help the truth of your glory and your greatness to free us from the fear of others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.